You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Lord Jesus Christ, come to us now and go before us. You are our rock and you are our redeemer. Amen. The text for this sermon comes to us from Paul's letter to the Colossians, which can be found in your bulletin. It was our first reading this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says the following: "And he is before all things." This morning I'm compelled to talk about the present lordship of Jesus Christ, which I want to emphasize is present, which is to say it's not in the past. His lordship is not just resigned to the pages of Scripture, and I would like to speak about that in terms that I hope are present and helpful to your lives and our lives together. What does the lordship of Christ mean? And what does that mean for everyday life? So here is a universal statement. Everyone here woke up this morning. Everyone here woke up this morning. Most days, a lot of people wake up when their alarm goes off. And there are those of us, of course, that rise with no need of an alarm, waking long before the sun rises or even in the mid-afternoon if they were to work a long shift the night before. Some of us wake up when the little people in our house wake up. And we may hit snooze once, or we may pretend not to hear the rustling in the room next door. We may resist getting out of bed. We may spring out of bed when our feet hit the floor, but whatever that second is for you, whatever that second it is for you when you are awakened from your sleep, you and we are confronted, perhaps even from a pleasant or an interesting dream state, we are confronted with the realities of our lives. And you might be thinking to yourself, well, that's dramatic. And yet I find it to be true. I find that to be true. Our experience leads us to the truth that often those realities that hit us in the morning, pay attention tomorrow morning and for the next week, our experience leads us to the truth of the realities that sometimes the first thing that crosses your mind, it might be positive. It might be exciting. It might be hopeful. You might be thinking about the good day that you had yesterday, if yesterday was in fact a good day. It being positive on the whole in terms of relationships or your life outlook, or perhaps you accomplished something you've been wanting to, and you're proud of that. And there might be something that you're looking forward to that day that's keeping you buoyant. And as a result, you might bound out of bed, looking forward to the day at hand, full of optimism, going from strength to strength, and looking forward to the events of the day. This is an experience that happens in all of our lives. That experience happens in all of our lives. And as great as some of our mornings may be, we also know that our lives rarely exist in neutral. We know this because just as often as we wake up with the promises of yesterday, hoping that they will be transmuted to today, we have all woken with the experience of a sunken feeling or a low hum of doom that we can readily identify the second we wake up. And we might ask ourselves, oh, I've got that feeling of the low hum of doom, and you're trying to remember why do I feel this way? And then we remember that the tax bill is due. Or we remember that we have that appointment today. Or we remember that our team, can't say who, might not be a sure favorite to make the playoff anymore. And before we've even put the toothpaste on the toothbrush, we're solving problems in our minds 23 and a half seconds after being woken up. Now, what Paul says here in his epistle to the Colossians could not be more clear. What does Paul say? Paul says, Jesus Christ, the one that you read about in Scripture, Jesus, is God himself, no less than God himself, no less than the visible incarnation of the invisible God. Paul says that Jesus created all things, he created all things, visible and invisible. He says that Jesus is before all things, that Jesus holds everything together. He says he's the ruler of rulers. He says that Jesus is the King and Lord of all things. So what does this mean? It means that everything, and hear me, everything exists downstream from Jesus Christ. Everything. Everything exists downstream from him. This was the case in 33 AD when he dies and rose again from the grave. It was the case when Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians. He's trying to make that point. It was true at the height of the Roman Empire and during its fall. It was true throughout the Middle Ages. Jesus was Lord of all during church schisms and the Reformation. He was Lord of all during the Great Awakening. He was Lord of all during two world wars in Vietnam. And as we are well into the 21st century, in an age of terrorism and housing bubbles and housing crises, and winter getting colder and summer getting warmer, Jesus is Lord over that too. He's Lord over that too. So that means that Jesus is Lord over your doctor's appointments, your jobs, your job search, your retirement, your kids, your grown kids, your marriage, your desire to be married, your hopes, your dreams, your disappointments, and then also the one thing that you did that one time that you haven't told anybody about because you're not proud of it. And the most amazing parts of your life. Now, what I've just said is what we can call an indisputable truth. That is indisputable. Jesus, who existed in the beginning with the Father and the Spirit, who was incarnate, who still has holes in his hands. Jesus still has holes in his hands, who is presently sitting right now, in real time, sitting on the throne, on his throne, in heaven, ruling and reigning. He's ruling and reigning over all things. Now, there are those who obviously would disagree with that, but that doesn't make it less true. That is an indisputable truth. So what do we do with that information? What do we do with that truth? I think there are a couple things that I find that we can do with that. The first is that we are invited to come to terms with the reality that if Jesus is Lord over all things, and all things exist downstream of him, that means that we are not the lords of our lives. We are not the lords of our lives. And I say that with full awareness that many a churchman can and have used something like what I just said as a means of calling into question the quality of one's faith. I have zero interest in doing that this morning because I don't find that helpful. But the truth does remain. If Jesus is Lord of all things, that means that he is Lord over our lives. I hope that feels like a release valve. I hope that makes you exhale. I hope that helps your shoulders drop a little bit. Collective sigh. Because it's true. That is true. It is true in the face of living in an age of hyper-responsibility, burdening the lives of the individual and the collective individuals. As we are positioned, as the lords of our lives and the masters of our own fate and happiness and fulfillment and that of our children, it is all too easy to be crushed by the weight of dualistic, black and white living whereby we are confronted with endless ifs. If I do this, this will happen. If I don't do this, doom. If I don't take this job now, this will never happen again. This opportunity will never happen again. If my kids don't get into this school or this sorority or this fill in the blank, their lives are over. The side effects of this medication scare me. But if I don't take it, then fill in the blank. And the list goes on whereby we are confronted with the reality that we're in charge. That we're in charge. And that not only that, we're in charge of our own doomsday. But if Jesus Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, the one who is sitting in heaven and on sitting in heaven, ruling over all things in heaven and on earth with holes in his hands, that means that he is Lord of our lives. Again, I hope that feels like a release valve. I hope that helps you exhale. So how is this helpful? I find this to be helpful because we ourselves are not reconcilers. We're not saviors. We're not reconcilers. We're not redeemers. We're not restorers. We don't have the ability to, in complete and total terms, right every wrong in our lives. We don't have the ability to fix every problem. We don't have the ability to solve every riddle and then get our lives back on track. That's too much pressure for anybody. And what does that mean? It means, remember this, it means in the responsibility, that means that the responsibility of our hope, the responsibility of our optimism in our lives in the face of circumstances that drive us up the wall, that make us fall into despair, that hit us like a ton of bricks the first thing in the morning, the responsibility of optimism, the responsibility of hope in our lives can be given not to ourselves, but to Jesus. The responsibility of optimism in the face of troubling circumstances can be given to him. From family disagreements over Thanksgiving dinner, wait for it, to wondering what you can or have to do if your child's having a hard time. This is true because of the simple and yet all-powerful reason that Jesus' blood covers everything in our lives. His blood covers it all, seen and unseen. It covers everything now. It covered everything then. And it will cover everything, whether in heaven or in earth, as we move towards a one-way trip to the eschaton and eternity with him. Thus, as I close, here's my invitation to you this morning. It is to, when you wake up in the morning, and if the first thought that crosses your mind is wonderful, and it springs you into the day, we can thank Jesus for it. We don't have to, that's not a law, but we can thank Jesus for that. And if it is doom, and if it is anxiety, if it is despair, you are free to say to Jesus, who is our only mediator and advocate, Jesus, you are cordially invited to handle this thing. Try it tomorrow. Try it on Thanksgiving morning. Because whatever that thing is, he can handle it. He can handle it. Because it is already his. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.